Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
The fate of new casinos in our state could be in jeopardy. We'll tell you what happened this morning at the state legislature that could tank the proposal.
And some severe storms are possible later this afternoon. Part of the viewing area under a level one risk. We'll walk through the timeline.
And breaking news in the sports world, the injury that will sideline Jets QB Aaron Rodgers for the rest of the season. We'll tell you what an MRI showed.
It is now official. The State House and Senate have hit a budget roadblock, and that roadblock is gambling. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. House Republicans will not agree to adding video and casino gambling to the state budget, but the Senate is insisting on it. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live at the legislative building where that news broke this morning. Laura.
Renee, you know, as we've been telling you for a while now, lawmakers have been saying that this is the week that they would have a budget deal. But the struggle over adding gambling to the state budget has been going on for months, and it apparently has not yet been resolved. Senate Republicans and House Republican leaders want to add a massive expansion of gambling to the state spending plan. But about 30 social conservatives in the House Republican caucus have held fast in opposition. That's after hours of meetings behind closed doors yesterday. Moore says without those votes, the budget will not pass. He said gambling is now the only thing holding up the delayed spending plan.
That is absolutely correct. That is the only thing holding up the budget. And so from the House, we're ready to move forward with a budget that does not include gaming, because like there's so many other great things in there that frankly need to be done for the people of North Carolina.
Now, this leaves the ball, of course, in Senate leader Phil Berger's court. And he said as recently as yesterday that the only way the Senate would approve additional gambling would be in the budget. So it's unlikely we'll see a budget today. In the meantime, state employees and teachers are still waiting for their raises, and about half a million people in North Carolina are waiting for Medicaid expansion. The budget's already 2.5 months late, and nothing about that is going to change until these folks come to a deal. Renee?
So much riding on the passage of a state budget, now weeks overdue. Laura Leslie, live at the state legislature. Thank you. Voters in Lee County are heading to the polls today for the municipal election. Polls are open until 7:30 tonight. Voters will need to go to their assigned polling place. You can find that through the State Elections Board's voter search or polling place search. Make sure to also bring your ID with you or another acceptable form of identification.
Scattered storms are possible this afternoon as a cold front approaches. We have a level one risk for severe storms for part of our viewing area. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at the timeline for this, Elizabeth.
Yeah, we take a look at our severe weather threat, and you can see from the Triangle area northward and then westward back to through parts of the Sandhills. This is where we have that level one risk for severe storms. Along the I-95 corridor, our threat would be less that we would end up with storms strong enough to become severe. Here's our cold front. The other one is moved offshore. That's the one that helped to bring in some rain over the weekend. It's exiting out of here, but you can see this front, and there are some thunderstorms that are firing up along it and ahead of it, and that's what we would see today. Now, tomorrow, the actual front comes through, and we'll end up seeing more of this rain that's showing up behind the front, so we're going to be dealing with this for a couple of days. We take a look at dual Doppler 5000 radar, and just about 10 minutes until 12, about 10 minutes or so ago, we started to see a couple of little areas starting to pop up near Rollsville, near Lewisburg, a couple little tiny cells there. So we're starting to see just the beginnings of some storms that are developing. We're going to check in on that again at about 12:15 and again at 12:45. Here's a look at Futurecast. And as we take a look at Futurecast and push that through time, you can see by 3 o'clock a few of those isolated cells developing. So it's firing up a little bit quicker than what we're seeing here on Futurecast. We do have the potential to see more of those during the evening hours. And that's when potentially we would see a few of those that could produce some wind damage. The new information from Hurricane Lee, not much change. It's moving a little more slowly than it did in the 5 a.m. advisory, moving northwest at 6 instead of at 7, winds at 115 miles per hour. But the forecast path and the timeline of it is still pretty much the same. We're looking at it passing Bermuda very early Friday morning as a Category 1 storm and possibly making landfall up in some of the Canadian Maritimes or in Maine. And it's still likely to pass several hundred miles from North Carolina. But I'll show you what our impacts for the coast will be coming up.
In less than an hour, UNC Chapel Hill students plan to hold a protest outside the state legislature. They're demanding lawmakers make and take meaningful steps to end gun violence. WRAL's Destiny Patterson joins us live with their message. Destiny.
Well, Jeff, like you said, we are expecting several student groups to get together here in just about an hour. You can see they're already starting to set up. They've got speakers here getting ready for that event. And already this morning, we've heard from some of those students who have experienced gun violence. It was hosted in a news conference by Representative Laura Budd and Senator Greg Meyer. Now, today is significant because these students are hoping to connect with state lawmakers as they work to pass the budget. Organizers say there are two specific issues they're honing in on. That's gun control and voter rights. These students say they want to see tighter gun laws like red flag laws and required background checks. Plus, they say they want younger voters to get excited about getting involved with the hopes of ending gun violence. Several students who've been affected by school gun violence are meeting with lawmakers today, and they say they're hoping the recent shooting at UNC will encourage lawmakers to make change.
I am sick of thoughts and prayers. I want bills and I want change.
Being part of the lockdown generation is not something you want to be a part of. And now we have, and all of us here are part of it. This is not a group. This is not a club you want to be a part of. Enough is enough. No more silence.
Again, 1 o'clock, March for Our Lives rally will happen right here. We're expecting a large turnout with students from all across the state. Jeff?
All across the state, especially those from Chapel Hill with the recent events there. Destiny Patterson, live for us downtown. Thank you.
New this noon, we now know the name of the driver of an SUV that crashed head-on into the car, driven by the owner of a popular UNC merchandise store. Investigators say 45-year-old Jason Fry crossed the center line of Highway 751, causing the crash. Chris Chelani and his father, Druva, died. Chris's mother was in the passenger seat and was seriously injured. Fry, the driver who ran into them, also has serious life-threatening injuries. Investigators plan to meet with the Chatham County DA's office later this week regarding charges against Fry.
Also following this developing story here in the WRL Live Center out of Libby, I want to show you this brand new video into our newsroom. This heavy flooding, as of right now, more than 2,000 people are feared dead and another 10,000 are missing. Torrential rains from a Mediterranean storm dumped so much rain in the northeast part of Libya. Two dams collapsed, sending water flooding into already flooded areas. Search and rescue efforts are nonstop. Entire villages are believed to have been washed away. This is an ongoing story, and we're monitoring it for any new developments, and we'll bring you any new information during this newscast or online at WRL.com.
Also staggering, more than 2,900 people are dead, another 5,300 injured after Morocco's deadliest earthquake in more than a century. Rescuers are still searching for survivors after the 6.8 magnitude quake struck about 45 miles southwest of Marrakesh on Friday. Many villagers have had no power or telephone service since then. Some have no idea if their family and friends are dead or alive.
Five Americans imprisoned in Iran could soon be on their way home in exchange for five Iranians being held in the U.S. In an NBC News exclusive, Lester Holt spoke today with Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi through a government translator as part of the deal the U.S. has signed off on unfreezing $6 billion of Iranian assets held up by sanctions. Critics say it's essentially a ransom.
This money belongs to the Islamic Republic of Iran, and naturally, we will decide, the Islamic Republic of Iran will decide to spend it wherever we need it.
On NBC's Nightly News, live tonight, Lester Holt explains the questions he asked, the condition of the prisoners. You can tune in here on WRL after our 6 p.m. newscast.
Raleigh police need your help tracking down a driver who they say hit a person on Glenwood Avenue. The WRL breaking news tracker drove to the scene near Rembert Drive last night. Officers say the driver was in a red pickup truck. We're told the person who was hit was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. If you know anything that could help with the investigation, call police.
First responders received a special treat today as a thank you for their service. Capitol Crossings and Falls Ridge Chick-fil-A locations in Raleigh served first responders free chicken biscuits. The Raleigh Chamber of Commerce hosted its annual First Responders Appreciation Breakfast in conjunction with the Chick-fil-A giveaway.
They make our whole region a safe place to be, which helps it helps business. It makes it a great place to be. People want to come to places that where we can have safety, where they feel like it's a great quality of life.
More than 400 first responders were estimated to attend the appreciation breakfast. WREL is a proud community partner for that event.
Road closures near a water main break in Knightdale are expected to last for about another hour. This was the scene on Lawrence Way. Workers shut off the water in that area. They're now working to find exactly where the break is so they can fix it. Drivers should expect traffic delays and avoid that area if possible.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers' season is done. Take a look at how this all happened. An MRI showing Rodgers tore his left Achilles tendon when he was sacked during Monday night's victory over the Buffalo Bills. This happened just 4 plays into the Jets' first series in that game when he was sacked by Leonard Floyd of the Buffalo Bills. You see him there being carted off to the locker room. The 4-time MVP was supposed to lead a resurgence for the New York Jets. He's currently 39 years old, currently the oldest player at that position since Tom Brady retired, of course. We're expecting to hear from Jets coach Robert Saleh later today. And, of course, eventually Aaron Rodgers will talk about what's next for him in the NFL.
Next at noon, as former President Donald Trump holds a substantial lead in the Iowa polls, the trouble President Biden faces with a potential impeachment inquiry.
Also, COVID cases are trending upward. How the FDA hopes updated vaccines can help prevent a surge from getting out of control.
Plus, a new trend in real estate. At 12:30, the latest Raleigh company to repurpose a big box store.
Download the new WREL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Breaking news. Within the last 30 minutes, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy announced he will call for a formal impeachment inquiry into President Biden. McCarthy accused Biden of abusing his power, obstruction, and corruption. Biden is accused of profiting off his son's business deals abroad. Evidence of that has not been shared to this point. McCarthy says he's directing a House committee to open a formal inquiry. A group of Republicans is expected to talk more about this during a news conference on Thursday.
Former President Donald Trump has a substantial lead in the polls in Iowa. He is still battling an election subversion case where he wants the judge to recuse herself. Madeline Rivera reports on Trump's battle in the courtroom and efforts to impeach President Biden.
Like a big man on campus, former President Trump got a champion's welcome over the weekend at an Iowa football game.
I guess the youth likes Trump, but we love Iowa.
Emerson polling shows the Hawkeye State loves him right back, with the former president holding the support of 49% of Republican voters. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is trailing with 14%, the rest with only single digits.
I think if you're a betting person, you bet on Trump.
But Trump's still tackling several legal challenges with serious jail time if convicted. Now he's trying to get the Obama-appointed judge overseeing his federal 2020 election interference case to recuse herself. In a court filing Monday, his legal team accused Judge Tanya Chutkan of being biased against Trump, citing comments she's made at sentencing hearings for 2 January 6 defendants. In October 2022, she said the people who mobbed the Capitol showed blind loyalty to one person who, by the way, remains free to this day. However, that fight might be an uphill battle, just like the House Republican push to impeach President Biden.
Today, I am directing our House committee to open a formal impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden.
It remains to be seen whether enough Republicans will authorize the move.
I don't see evidence yet that would support impeaching Joe Biden.
That was Madeline Rivera reporting. The White House says none of the Biden investigations have turned up evidence of wrongdoing by the president.
Former NFL player Adam Pacman Jones faces 3 charges after being removed from a flight and arrested. Police responded to reports of an unruly passenger just before takeoff. Jones was arrested and charged with alcohol intoxication, disorderly conduct, and making terroristic threats. He denies being drunk and says it started over a charger that was not working on the plane. Jones was released from jail hours later on a $500 bond. Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin did not suit up for last night's game against the New York Jets. The Bills listed Hamlin as inactive for the season opener, but he had not appeared on the team's injury report during the week. Hamlin has not played in a regular season game since suffering from cardiac arrest in January. In April, three specialists cleared the 25-year-old to play. His next opportunity to hit the field will be Sunday when the Bills host the Raiders.
COVID-19 cases are trending upwards as we prepare to head into the fall. The FDA hopes updated COVID-19 vaccines will help prevent cases from surging out of control. Jackie Ibanez takes a look at what protections the new shots offer and why doctors say you should also consider getting vaccinated for the flu.
Get ready to roll up your sleeves. New COVID-19 shots could be right around the corner.
I don't want to get sick.
The Food and Drug Administration on Monday approved updated coronavirus vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna. The reformulated shots are designed to protect against the latest Omicron variants, which doctors say are behind the current increase in late summer COVID cases and hospitalizations.
The variants that are going around now are pretty infectious.
Coronavirus immunity decreases over time.
The FDA approved the new vaccines for people 12 years old and up, with emergency use authorized for kids as young as 6 months old. Because the coronavirus is expected to keep mutating over time, health experts say it's possible we'll continue to get updated shots every fall. This comes as they estimate upticks in COVID, RSV, and flu cases heading into the winter.
I suspect we'll see RSV peaking again this winter, along with flu and possibly COVID as well. So COVID cases are going up right now. I imagine they will crest and come back down, but then by the middle of the winter, December, January, I would not be surprised if we see a slight increase in cases again.
Health officials say both the COVID-19 and the flu shot can be given to people during the same visit.
Regardless of whether it's COVID or flu or any of the other viruses, if you don't feel well, the best thing you can do is stay away from other people.
As Jackie Baña is reporting, and the CDC is expected to meet today to provide recommendations on who should receive the reformulated shots before they can be rolled out.
Within the past few hours, we have an expanded threat for severe storms. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner walks us through when that rain will come for the areas highlighted in green.
We just started to see a few little cells pop up right before noon, and those are continuing to pop up in Wake County and up into Franklin County. So we'll take a look at that in a second. But we do have that severe level one risk from the Triangle area westward for this afternoon. Here's a look at our what's coming our way. We're going to look at a few isolated showers and thunderstorms possible as a cold front gets closer to us this afternoon and again tomorrow as the front itself moves all the way through. Then it's going to be much cooler behind the front. We're looking at just a delightful air mass that's headed our way. But we are seeing some scattered thunderstorms just ahead of the front and already beginning to see one or two of those popping up around the triangle. We do have more rain associated with the front itself, which will roll through tomorrow. So we'll get right in here to dual Doppler 5000 radar and just to the east of Raleigh. So over toward Wendell and Zebulon, we're looking at a little bit of isolated rain starting to pop up. And the same thing over here into Franklin County as well. As soon as we start to see this popping, it tends to begin to pop in other places as well. So we'll be looking for that. None of that is severe. We don't have any lightning with that yet, but we'll continue to watch that again once we start to see some of these popping up. And you can see that again near Zebulon, not too far from Rollsville and up around Lewisburg and Franklinton. We'll likely see more of it on through the afternoon. So we'll check in again with it coming up in about half an hour. Futurecast showing some of those little cells popping up, not really becoming much until a bit later on as that front gets a little closer to us. You can see some showers and thunderstorms moving in from the west. And again, one or two of those could produce some wind damage. We'll definitely see some heavy rain. Lots of moisture in the atmosphere right now, so that rain will be heavy at times. And here's a look at Lewisburg and kind of watching some of those clouds building there. No rain in Lewisburg yet, but that's one of the spots where we're starting to see some cells pop up. 89, our temperature, dew point 71. We'll see a high of 93, so it's a warm, sticky summer feeling afternoon for us. It feels like 95 and Durham and Raleigh, and it's 89. It feels like 95 in Goldsboro and 97 in Clinton. So that heat index is really making it feel hot in a lot of spots. 93 the high in Raleigh, 91 in Durham, and 93 in Fayetteville. Our normal high is 84, and we're back into the 80s starting tomorrow all the way through the weekend. It's still going to be steamy today and tomorrow, but after the front moves through on Wednesday, it will feel so much more comfortable on Thursday through the weekend. Our morning lows, too. Our normal low is 64, 61 on on Thursday, and then in the 50s on Friday and Saturday. Another look at Hurricane Lee, moving a little more slowly than it was earlier this morning. And you can see the timestamps very close together, indicating some slow movement. But once we get into Thursday, it really takes off. It moves past Bermuda on Friday morning at 90 miles per hour, and then potentially makes landfall up around Nova Scotia or in Maine, possibly. We take a look at these temperatures, something to look forward to, those overnight lows in the 50s and a real fall feel coming later on in the week. We're going to take another look at Lee. We also have Margot and another system coming off the coast of Africa. It looks like it's moving to the west. We'll take a look, closer look at all of that coming up.
The tropics very active right now. Elizabeth, thank you. Coming up on our news starting at 4, PolitiFact proves that you can't always trust what you see on social media. Fact-checking the content of one of the viral posts about the UNC campus shooting today at 4.
And 5 on Your Side shows you how to fight an inaccurate medical bill. The 5 steps you should take to reduce your bill and 1 thing not to do. That's tonight at 6. Plus, still ahead this noon, say goodbye to self-serve soft drinks at Mickey D's. Why the company says it is time to make a change.
Plus, does your cold medicine actually work? Why the FDA is examining one of the key ingredients.
Our new news continues here in the WRA Live Center with a major announcement out of RDU International as we look live at Terminal 2. The airport announcing Lufthansa Airlines launching a new flight from RDU International to Frankfurt, Germany. Service is set to begin June 6th of next year. There'll be 5 weekly flights on an Airbus 330 aircraft with 255 seats. This marks the 3rd international flight to Europe from RDU International, the other 2 destinations being London and Paris. Now you can add Frankfurt, Germany, starting next summer.
American households have never been wealthier. That's according to data from the Federal Reserve. It says U.S. household wealth hit a record $154 trillion in the second quarter. This figure, which also includes nonprofit wealth, jumped 4% from the first quarter. That's up more than $5 trillion thanks to a rally in stocks and rising home values. More than 15,000 pounds of smoked sausage produced by Hillshire Brands Company are being recalled. The sausage is being pulled from shelves because it may be contaminated with bone fragments. The potentially affected products are labeled Hillshire Farm smoked sausage made with pork, turkey, beef. The label also has an expiration date of November 11th this year. The products were sold in various states, including here in North Carolina. So check your fridge. No illnesses or hospitalizations related to eating these products.
MGM Resorts says a cybersecurity issue shut down some of its systems yesterday. The website is currently offline with an apology message and a list of phone numbers for guests to reach their specific hotel concierge desk. Right now, website bookings and remote keys are unavailable. No word on when MGM systems will come back online. Some airline passengers may be experiencing long delays getting through customs and immigration. The U.S. Global Entry Program helps expedite U.S. travelers' arrival back to the country through customs and immigration. It is now dealing with a backlog of applications. It could take applications up to 11 months to be processed.
McDonald's is getting rid of self-serve soda machines. The transition will be complete by 2032. Customers will then have to ask for refills at the counter. McDonald's is not saying whether financial or health reasons led to the decision. Several franchises in Illinois have already made the shift. Owners there say food safety, theft, and a lack of dining customers led to the move. Lyft is rolling out a new feature that it says will give passengers and drivers peace of mind. We'll explain how it works in our next half hour.
Look at your winning NC Education lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Biosystems company Targan opens its newest facility here in Raleigh on Six Forks Road.
It's located in the old Kroger grocery store, which is now called the Midtown Bio Center. WRAL Shelley Jackson joins us live from Midtown right now. Shelley, this is an interesting new trend in real estate, right?
It certainly is, Jeff. It's called MedTail. It takes old retail stores like this, like you said, it used to be the old Kroger, and converts it into life or health sciences facilities. Now, this building, the Midtown BioCenter, is the first life science-focused facility in the Midtown Raleigh area. Targan is leasing the 100,000-square-foot building. It's a North Carolina company headquartered in Morrisville, started in 2015 and has grown from 2 to 120 employees. The CEO says he plans to hire at least another 100 employees in the next year and a half to 2 years. Now, Governor Roy Cooper was attending today's ribbon cutting for Targan. The company says it creates high-speed automated systems like vaccine systems to humanely maximize livestock production without using chemicals or antibiotics. Raleigh is one of the top 4 or 5 rapidly rising markets in this MedTail trend, according to commercial realtor CBRE. And you know, it seems to be a win-win for everyone. The CEO said to build a facility of this size, it would have taken about 3 years from scratch and a lot of money. Instead, this was ready in just 14 months. Jeff?
Interesting use of that new space. All right, Shelley Jackson live in Midtown this noon for us. Shelley, thanks. You might find it hard to believe which roller coaster was just crowned the best steel coaster in the world. If you guessed the Fury 325 at Charlotte's Carowinds, you're right. And it is, yes, the same coaster that raised serious safety concerns earlier this year and had to be shut down for repairs after these images of a cracked steel beam emerged. It was given the honor by Amusement yesterday for a 7th year in a row.
Millions of people across the country and around the world use rideshare services every single day to get from point A to point B. And now Lyft is rolling out a new feature, Women Plus Connect. Savannah Sellers explains how it works in this NBC News exclusive.
This morning, rideshare app Lyft is rolling out a brand new feature, Women Plus Connect, in 5 cities from Chicago to San Diego, which will give women Lyft users the option to request a driver or passenger of the same gender.
Maybe you're in a new city, maybe it's late at night, maybe you've had a couple drinks, whatever it might be, and just for your own peace of mind, the ability to choose a woman driver might be exactly the thing that allows you to say, you know what, yeah, this really is making my life better.
If you're in one of the 5 cities where Women Plus Connect is launching, drivers and riders who have selected woman or non-binary as their gender can open the updated app and will be prompted with an option to enable the new feature.
It's literally, you know, a toggle that you can always turn on or off.
Just like Lyft that. CEO David Risher hopes to provide that feeling of comfort and safety, not just for the riders, but the drivers too. Lyft says just 23% of its drivers are women. Risher hopes to increase that number.
Half the population, roughly, are women. But today, some segment of those women riders are saying, I don't always feel comfortable in your car. That's bad for us. We want the opposite.
That comfort could be key given a persistent issue facing rideshare apps, reports of sexual harassment and assault perpetrated by both riders and drivers. Competing service Uber reported over 3,800 incidents in 2019 and 2020, while Lyft said it had over 4,000 between 2017 and 2019.
Is this an acknowledgement of that problem? Is this meant to help fix that, this new feature?
I mean, I think it's an acknowledgement of the world we live in that sexual assaults happen. Unacceptable, terrible. Even one is unacceptable. We have to create an environment where it's going to happen less and less and less and less.
Single mom Mimi Fan has been driving for Lyft for over a decade. She says the feature makes her feel more comfortable requesting passengers at different times of day and in different areas.
And for me as a female driver, I would feel just an extra layer of confidence where, you know, I can just really focus on, you know, the ride itself.
That was Savannah Sellers reporting. More than 84 million U.S. adults reported having symptoms of depression and anxiety this year. And now there is a new AI app that can screen for mental health symptoms using only your voice on a smartphone. It's called Mental Vitals, and it's within the app called Together by Renee. Renee's trying to claim it, but it's named after the doctor who created it. The innovative mental health detection tool is designed to screen the symptoms of depression and anxiety through voice analysis.
By listening to the sound of your voice and the various intonations, the software can determine whether or not you have symptoms of anxiety or depression just based on perhaps the speed, the sound, the tone of your voice.
The Mental Vitals feature joins the existing tools that enable users to measure vitals like blood pressure simply by pointing their smartphone camera at their face.
Happening now in the WRAL Live Center, we continue to monitor the search for escaped inmate Danilo Cavalcante. This is new video right into our newsroom of this massive search that's underway. The state police saying that Cavalcante was spotted in this area of northeast Chester County, just about 20 miles from the prison where he escaped from a couple of weeks ago. Of course, this area is on alert and on lockdown. They're telling residents to stay indoors, lock their doors, lock their houses. There are reports that Cavalcante broke into a home in this neighborhood and stole a rifle. So now police have confirmed that, yes, he is armed. In a press conference that happened about 9:30 this morning, Cavalcante has completely changed his appearance. He shaved all his facial hair. We've also learned that all the schools and offices in this school district here in Chester County are closed today because of this ongoing search. Look for new reporting on this story online and, of course, in our news starting at 4.
Here's hoping they find him very soon. Still to come, why more and more doctors say over-the-counter cold medicines don't work. What they say is most effective when you want relief from a stuffy nose.
Do you tend to stay up late? You may want to move up your bedtime. Why night owls tend to lead an unhealthy lifestyle.
For years, we were told an ingredient in many cold and sinus medicines like Sudafed and NyQuil was safe and effective.
But now there are serious questions about whether it works at all. Ann Thompson reports now the FDA is examining the effectiveness.
It is a key ingredient in many popular over-the-counter medicines like Sudafed PE, DayQuil and NyQuil Severe, phenylephrine or PE. But a growing body of evidence claims PE doesn't work as a decongestant when taken orally, in a pill or liquid. Dr. Purvi Parikh is a New York City allergist.
Do you recommend oral PE?
No, actually, especially because recent studies have shown that it's not very effective at all.
This week, an FDA advisory committee will have its say, evaluating evidence, including from the agency's scientists, that say while safe, orally administered PE is not effective as a nasal decongestant. It didn't clear Betsy Yates's head.
Just wasn't working, and I was miserable.
If the FDA pulls the generally recommended safe and effective designation from oral PE, you're going to have to turn to your pharmacist for medicines available without a prescription, but that are kept behind the counter.
That medicine contains pseudoephedrine. That's what Betsy used.
You could tell a difference between the Sudafed that you get from behind the counter versus what's just available on the shelf.
The OTC manufacturers group says oral PE should stay, arguing taking the drug away could cause people to delay or forego treatment. Dr. Parikh says there are better options.
They should switch to those 24-hour oral antihistamines, those nasal steroids or nasal antihistamine sprays.
That was Ann Thompson reporting, and if you needed it, here's another reason to get a good night's sleep. Night owls have a higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes. A new study found people who stay up late are more likely to have unhealthy diets, exercise less, smoke more, and sleep less. Previous research found links to obesity and heart disease.
Staying up late, not our problem, right, Jeff?
No, I'm good with that.
Well, he beat the odds as a child. Now the $3 million American Ninja Warrior winner is beating the odds once again. What makes this win so special?
Plus, the show's called America's Got Talent, but a group from another country won the hearts of voters with their tribute to an AGT contestant. We'll hear from the performers after the break.
For just the third time in the show's 15-year history, NBC's American Ninja Warrior has a million-dollar winner. 18-year-old Vance Walker from Tampa, Florida, conquered the last stage of the finals course, an 80-foot rope climb that had to be done in less than 30 seconds. Walker did it, beating out fellow ninja Daniel Gill's time. Even then, Walker still wasn't guaranteed the million-dollar prize. He had to wait out the final two of the eight ninjas trying to make the same climb. Both of them came up short.
I realized that I was going to win the show, and
I just broke down crying. I fell to the floor, and that was just the most amazing feeling in the world.
It was Walker's third time in the finals, and his win comes years after he was told as a child he might not walk because of cerebral palsy.
It's just amazingly inspirational. Six spots are already set for the finale of America's Got Talent later this month. Two more will be at stake tonight when 11 acts perform, with viewers voting who to move through to the finale. Mark Barger talked to the acts who earned America's vote last week.
It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay.
Imzanzi Youth Choir echoed one of AGT's most famous auditions in their own.
Then it's all right.
It was just breathtaking, honestly.
It was their way of saluting the performance of Jane Marcheski. The late singer, otherwise known as Nightbird. When the group returned for last week's performance,
I wanna be with you everywhere.
Among those on hand watching was Nightbird's family.
Tears of joy, tears of sadness. But getting that opportunity to meet her family, it's like we saw Nightbird.
Another opportunity lies ahead, the AGT finale.
We just want to impress. We just want to do what we do best and hope for the best.
Last week's other finalist,
you break my heart, break my heart.
Putri Ariani was golden in her audition, so much so.
Only to be with you.
The band U2 allowed the blind singer from Indonesia to sing their classic.
Thank you, U2. AGT is like, helped me to give me, like, I know that I'm looking for now.
Which is winning the show.
It's like my dream is in front of me and the door is waiting to open.
One that Ariani and 10 other acts will be ready to walk right through. Mark Barger, NBC News.
America's Got Talent airs performances from this week's 11 acts tonight at 8. And the results of America's vote on the acts come tomorrow night at 8. That Nightbird tribute always gets you, right?
Yeah, the true talent of America's Got Talent is finding just people not only with these amazing abilities, but just touching and resonating backstories. And Nightbird was certainly her story. She died last year of breast cancer. Yeah. Was just so touching and moving in her beautiful voice.
Super
and what
glad.
A beautiful tribute.
Super glad her family was there to see it, certainly. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Gardner is over in the WRS Severe Weather Center with a beautiful day out there right now anyway, but things to worry about.
Yeah, lots of sunshine at the moment in most places. We do have a couple little cells that have popped up in Wake County. We're going to revisit those once again and talk about what happens for the rest of the afternoon. But we'll take a look outside first. Goldsboro looking nice and sunny with a few puffy cumulus clouds. Same thing in Apex and Chapel Hill. And of course, there's a look at our newsroom there in Fayetteville. No rain there. Again, we do have a level one risk for severe storms from the Triangle area westward. That does not include Fayetteville or the I-95 corridor. However, you know, it's certainly possible that we would see some stronger storms on the other side of that line as well. We'll take a look at the wide view and you can start to pick out where some of those storms are in eastern Wake County and here in Franklin County. Those are about to move on over into Nash County. So we'll zoom in and you can see it's raining in Zebulon right now. I wish we do have that camera in Zebulon. I could pull that one up. But we're looking at south of Lewisburg, a few isolated showers, all of that about to move over into Nash County. But that won't be the end of it. As we continue to see our daytime heating, our temperatures rising, we'll have more of these little cells that pop up really anywhere across the viewing area. There's a look at 5 o'clock. Notice that at least this version of FutureCast doesn't show a lot of coverage at 5 o'clock, but we do see even more cells that start to pop up later on this evening. And honestly, you know, the model is a guideline. We're starting to see cells pop up now. We'll see a few of those on and off for the rest of the afternoon and into the evening. A little break overnight, and then our cold front itself starts to move through. There's lunchtime, and after lunchtime, we'll see a few scattered to isolated thunderstorms, especially closer to the coast, but we couldn't rule out a few of those in our viewing area as well. We'll take one last look at Hurricane Lee in our noon newscast. It is moving northwest at 6 miles per hour with 115 mile per hour winds. We haven't seen a lot of big changes in the last 18 hours or so, but but it is likely to pick up some forward speed as we get into Wednesday night and Thursday. Notice how it sits near Bermuda at about 8 a.m. on Friday morning, so it's going to be a very early morning sort of pass by. It doesn't necessarily look like the center is going to make landfall in Bermuda, but they're still going to have some major impacts there with a lot of strong wind and storm surge. For us here in North Carolina, we're going to have some impact as well. We're going to see this storm moving northward, watching it diminish in strength as it moves across some cooler water. That's where Franklin was just about a week ago, and it stirred up the temperatures there, those ocean temperatures that are really warm. Just underneath the surface, it's cooler. And so that will allow the storm to decrease in intensity. But as it moves past us on Friday, we'll see coastal flooding, some beach erosion, and life-threatening rip currents. That can start as early as Thursday and last all the way through the weekend. We have Hurricane Margo, likely to become a Category 2, and another system coming off the coast of Africa. Margo will move into the North Atlantic and dissipate, but this next wave coming off of the coast of Africa is certainly one that we'll be watching. It wouldn't approach the United States for another week and a half. Even if it does, we'll have our eye on it. In the meantime, I can't wait for the treat that we'll see starting Thursday into the weekend. Some beautiful weather, cooler than normal, and low humidity.
It does look gorgeous. Elizabeth, thanks. The greatest show on earth is returning to the big top, but you will notice lots of changes. Why performers say families will still enjoy lots of fun.
And here are your winning Powerball numbers, 9, 25, 27, 53, 66, and 5. The power play was 2. No jackpot winner, so the next jackpot goes up to more than $550 million.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. UNC Chapel Hill students are protesting outside the state legislature, demanding lawmakers take meaningful steps to end gun violence as they work to pass the budget. The students say they want tighter gun laws and they want younger voters to get excited about getting involved.
The state House and Senate have hit a budget roadblock. Gambling. House Republicans do not want added video and casino gambling, but the Senate insists on it. The $30 million budget is more than 2 months late, leaving state employees and teachers waiting on raises and about 500,000 people waiting for Medicaid expansion.
Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers is out for the season. An MRI shows Rodgers tore his left Achilles tendon last night when he was sacked by Buffalo Bills' Leonard Floyd. This all happened during the fourth snap of the game for him. The Jets won 22-16. We're hoping to find out more about what's next for the team. You can look for updates during our evening news starting at 4.
Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus is back, but not in the way you remember it. It's been reborn without animals, a ringmaster, or clowns. The high-octane show features 75 performers from 18 countries. Attendees will enjoy high-wire tricks, soaring trapeze artists, and bicycles leaping on trampolines. The tour kicks off in Louisiana from September 29th to October 1st, wraps up the year in Oklahoma, and then it resumes in 2024 in Florida.
Starting today, breweries across the U.S. are launching an adult beverage to raise awareness about the suicide prevention hotline. It started when a brewery in Arizona named a beer 988 in honor of the Crisis Lifeline phone number. The idea has spread now to 29 states, and for a limited time, breweries nationwide will sell their own versions of the 988 beer to help acknowledge it. The Suicide Prevention Lifeline 988 is available 24 hours a day.
An escaped inmate and convicted murderer has evaded Pennsylvania police for 13 days now. We'll hear from officials on their intensifying efforts to bring him back into custody today at 4.
NBC News Daily will be on that up next. Your next local news update is in 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. We hope you have a great day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.